You know, Easter is about hope. The resurrection reminds us that we all have hope. Recently, Nancy and I watched the movie Unbroken. Now, many of you probably saw the movie some months ago, but I'm one of those people that if I can get it on my TV later, I don't have to go to the theater and hear all that noisy paper rattling around and people on their phones texting. And anyway, I love watching movies at my house when I have the opportunity. And we saw the movie Unbroken. Nancy had been reading the book, and we saw where it was going to be on. And she said, "You want to watch this movie?" It was on a Friday night. I said, "Yeah, sure, let's watch it." Because I knew the story of Lieutenant Louis Zamperini and his ordeal and his change of life. He was 97 years of age when he died last year. He lived an interesting life. But on a May afternoon in 1943, life would forever change for Louis Zamperini. On that day, he and his buddies were on a rescue mission. They were on a Army Air Force bomber, and their plane crashed into the Pacific Ocean. And after spending 47 days on a raft, they were picked up by the Japanese and then put into a prison camp. Louis Zamperini lived an interesting life. When he was a child, he was a delinquent. He was always getting into fights. He would leave home and ride the rails and just getting all kinds of mischief. When he became a teenager, he channeled his energy into running. That led him to the Olympics. He was in the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, and became a very good athlete. Well, that athlete turned into an airman, and now, on this day in May of 1943, he is picked up by the Japanese and becomes a prisoner. For some reason, the commander of the camp picks on Zamperini. Didn't know whether it was he knew he had been an Olympic athlete, but he picks on him, beats him, makes him do extra things that he doesn't make the other prisoners do. And the movie shows the ordeal that he went through, the 47 days on the raft, the time in the prison camp. And there at the end of the movie, you see the American soldiers who had been imprisoned in that particular camp. And they're being marched towards the water. And there is fear in their eyes. You can see the uncertainty. They don't know whether they're going to be shot or whether they're going to be marched out to sea where they would be drowned. And so they're walking towards the water. And it's like this cloud of hopelessness has enveloped them. But all of a sudden you hear the noise of a plane overhead. And they stop. And together almost, they look up, and as the plane gets closer, they notice that it's an American plane. And you can see the change in those men's demeanor, their faces. And they began to smile and to shout and wave and even cry. Their hopelessness is turned into hope. And the last part of the movie, you see Louis Zamperini and those men getting off of an airplane in Los Angeles, his home. And the first thing he does, he gets down on the ground. He kisses the ground. He hugs his family, his brother, his mom and dad. And the movie doesn't tell the rest of the story of Louis Zamperini's life. I'm going to tell you the rest of the story at the end of this message. But I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to see with me this morning God's living hope that he has provided for us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I just want to be honest with you this morning. I had another sermon already prepared. I worked on all day Monday. I finished it on Tuesday, and I was ready to move on. I had the Good Friday service this past Friday, the noon service. I wanted to get this behind me. And as I finished the sermon out of Luke 24, the familiar narrative about the women going to the grave, going back, getting the disciples, the angels announcing that he was not there, he had risen, and then looking at Jesus' appearances to his followers afterwards, I thought, you know, most of the people that are going to hear me on Sunday already know the story. They know these events. But the question that many are going to be asking is this: so what? What difference does that make in my life? Why should I be concerned that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? How does that impact me? Well, look what Peter says here. Peter, the Apostle Peter, lived in a time when the church was faced with great pressure by Rome. He wrote this letter in order to give confidence and assurance to persecuted believers. Many Christians were put to death for their faith in Christ, primarily through Rome and the Emperor Nero. So Peter writes to bring hope at a time when there was a great deal of hopelessness and uncertainty. The resurrection of Jesus was a life-changing reality for Peter himself. Now remember, Jesus had said to Peter the night he was arrested, "Peter, you're going to deny me." Peter had said, "Lord, I'll follow you. I will follow you anywhere. I will do anything for you." And Jesus looked at this fisherman turned apostle and said, "Peter, tonight you will disown me three times." And sure enough, that night, Peter was in the courtyard and he was asked by different people, "Weren't you with Jesus? Don't you know him?" Three times, Peter denied and even cursed that he did not know the Lord. Now, Jesus, hanging on the cross on Good Friday, Peter sees the Lord hanging on the cross. He remembers the fact that he had denied the Lord. And now the Lord is dead. He's gone. Peter is truly feeling hopeless. All that he had worked for, lived for 3 years, has been erased. It's gone. And the next day did not bring any more hope. In fact, the next day only reminded Peter of his situation, because sure enough, Peter woke up to the sound of the crowing of the rooster. And every time that rooster crowed, Peter could hear the echo of his denial. "I don't know him. I don't know him." But then, on the third day, Peter was alerted to the fact by the women that Jesus' tomb was empty. And he goes and he finds out for himself that sure enough, Jesus was gone. He had risen, as he said. And Peter's hopelessness now turned to hope. And when we read these words in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter, who has experienced hope, who knows hopelessness, but now feels hope because of the resurrection of Jesus, is writing to these persecuted believers, people who are going through difficult times, adversity and suffering. Peter writes to them and encourages them by reminding them of the hope that they have in Jesus Christ. Look what he says. Blessed be the God and Father. Verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Look at this. Here it is. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Here we see the hope that every one of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord has been given. And what I want you to understand this morning, friend, as you're here on this Easter Sunday, and as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, is the fact that no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult life has become for you, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have hope. If you're not a believer this morning, if you've never acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I want you to understand that you can leave here this morning with this same hope. Let's look at this hope. Here's what I want you to take away from the message. Because Christ lives, we have hope. Because Christ lives, we have hope. Well, let's look at this hope that Peter talks about. And I want you to see four aspects of the believer's hope. First of all, in verse 3, Peter talks about the source of our hope. Where does this hope come from? Look how he starts off. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. So here at the very beginning, Peter bursts forth into this magnificent doxology. Why? Because he expects his audience to bless God, to sing praises to God, because God is the source of our living hope. Peter praises God for giving him hope, and he implores others to do the same. This morning we've come, we've gathered, and we've sung together, and we've talked about, we've sung, oh happy day, we've talked about how wonderful it is, the fact that Jesus has been risen from the dead. Jesus was risen from the dead, that he has been resurrected, and he lives today. You and I, of all people, ought to be filled with praise, filled with joy. Why? Because we have hope that the world does not have, and the hope comes from God himself. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Friend, I want to ask you this morning, is that characteristic of your Christian life? Is this how we feel as believers? Is this our response to the gospel? We claim to know Jesus. We claim to be believers. But how do we prove it? How do we show that? Is there a spirit of joyful praise within us, regardless of our circumstances? Is there a sense in which, yes, life may be tough right now, yes, things are not going necessarily the way I planned or I hoped or I dreamed, but I know that Jesus lives, that God loves me, and that God has an eternal inheritance waiting for me in heaven one day? That is reason enough for us to hope and to sing joyful praises to God this morning, regardless of what we may be going through. Peter says to these persecuted, scattered believers, that he is writing to, look, I know your suffering. I know your struggle. I know the adversity you're dealing with. But don't forget, you and I have hope. And our hope comes from God himself. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his mercy has caused us to be born again. Can I just ask you a question this morning? If you're born again this morning, how long has it been since you reflected and thought about how blessed you are? When you look at the world around us this morning, when you look at other people in your life and you see how they deal with life, you see how they deal with the negative circumstances surrounding them, aren't you glad that God in his grace and his mercy reached down and touched your life? Peter wants us to understand that we have hope, and this hope comes from God. That's the first thing. The source of the believer's hope is God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But don't you see in the second place the substance of the believer's hope? If you keep reading, we see what this hope is based on. The prophet Jeremiah asked a rhetorical question in his prophecy. In Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, Jeremiah asked this question: can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? The implication is that sinners could not change their nature. Only God can transform the sinful heart. And he does that by the new birth. So in other words, what Jeremiah asked rhetorically: can the leopard change his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? The obvious answer is no. We're all unclean. We've all been defiled by sin. And the only way that we can change, the only way that we can be transformed, is through the new birth, by being born again through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter says, this is the source of our hope. This is the substance of our hope. We rejoice. We have hope because we've been given eternal life. We've been given an eternal inheritance because of the new birth that has been given to God's children. So I want to ask you this morning, have you been born again? To the world outside, to the world, to the unbeliever, to the lost person, hope refers to something that may be, something I might wish to happen, something that is uncertain. But for the Christian, we have a sure hope in a bright future. So we face present difficulties. We face struggles differently than the lost person. We rejoice because we know we have an eternal inheritance that has been given to us through the new birth, by being born again into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. John puts it this way in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. John says, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. Now, what John is talking about is the fact that whatever life you have right now, it's only going to get better. It's only going to improve. That's what prompted Paul, the Apostle Paul, to write of this same hope when he said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Why? Because these men understood this life is not all that God intended for us. This is just the opening act. This is just the warm-up for something better. How many of you have ever been out of country for any length of time? If you've been on a mission trip, you know that sometimes you're gone for a week, maybe 2 weeks. The longest I've ever been on a mission trip was 3 weeks. I went to India with a group from our church several years ago. And that was the longest time I had ever been away out of country. And I remember about that, towards the end of that second week, I was really wanting to go home. And I was glad. I even had my wife with me. It was one of those times where she was able to go on a mission trip with me. But about that second week, I started longing for home, for family, friends, back here in America, in Greensboro in particular. And I remembered that where I was not my home. My home was in America. My home was here in Greensboro. And I began, after a while of being in India, I began to realize that I was just there for a while. I was there doing service for God, fulfilling ministry for God. And when I got on that airplane to come back home, it was so exciting because I knew, I had hope that I was going to land in America. I was going to set foot on this soil again, and I was going to be back with people that I was familiar with, people I loved, and back doing the thing that I loved doing, pastoring this church. The point I want to try to make through that is this. I think many of us have settled in to this life here in America. We think this is our home. And we think this is where we're going to spend our lives, and then that's it. And we think heaven is just something waiting for us afterwards, but we're not really longing for it. Peter reminds us in this same letter that we are pilgrims passing through. We are sojourners. This is not our home. And just like someone like myself in India, and I start longing to come home, you and I, as believers, ought to be thinking about our heavenly home, our eternal inheritance in heaven. Peter says, here's the substance of your hope. Whatever you're going through, it's only temporary. You are passing through this life. And you're going to face some difficulties. You're going to face some hardships. You're going to have a longing in your heart. You may not even realize where it comes from, but that longing is for that eternal inheritance that God has promised to each one of us. And that's our hope, that no matter what we may be going through, God has something better in store for us. Peter reminds these persecuted believers, look, I know what you're going through is tough. I know you're going through a difficult time. However, God's got something better for you. Jesus put it this way. You remember what he said to Martha prior to the raising of her brother Lazarus from the dead? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Friend, here's the point. The Christian is the one who knows that he has been born again to a living hope. And that hope is an eternal inheritance that awaits us in heaven. So that no matter what we may be going through here, my heart is not set on this world as a believer. My heart is set on heaven and my home that Jesus has gone to prepare for me. And that comes about through the new birth, by being born again into the family of God. There's the third thing I want you to see here, though, and that is, after we see the substance, we see the stability of the believer's hope. The stability of our hope. Look in verse 4. Peter wants the believers to understand the great deal we're getting with this inheritance. He describes it as an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Now, note three things about this inheritance. First, it cannot be destroyed. He uses the word imperishable there. That means it cannot perish. It does not age. It will not. It cannot deteriorate. It will not die. This world is passing away, but our heavenly home will never pass away. See, that's what Peter wants us to understand. This world is passing away, but we live as if this is it. That this is always going to be. And it's not. It's passing away. That's the first thing. Second, the believer's inheritance, not only can it not be destroyed, it cannot be defiled. He uses the word there that means unstained. It will never spoil. It will never be dirtied. It will never be polluted. But John tells us in the book of Revelation, there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more sin in heaven. It will be perfect, unlike this world in which we live in today. And thirdly, the believer's inheritance cannot decay. He uses the word unfading. That means the splendor and the beauty of that heavenly home will never fade. It will never diminish whatsoever. Now, I don't know about you. Many of you, you look young. There's some of you who have reached my age or older, but having reached the age of 60, I don't look in the mirror as much as I used to. Try not to. Because I'm reminded every time I look in the mirror that this old body, Nancy was going through her mom's stuff yesterday, trying to put up some old pictures we had given to her mom and she had collected over the years. And there was a picture of Nancy and I when we were in seminary. We had taken while we were in, we had just been married about a year, I believe. And I looked at that picture and then I looked at Nancy and I said, boy, life has changed, hasn't it, darling? And we're just different. Why? Because the body is dying. The body is decaying. Every time you look in the mirror, you begin to see the body is not what it used to be. It is slowly making its way back to the earth from which it came. Bible says that God created man from the dust of the earth, and the dust we will return. These bodies are dying. These bodies are decaying. This world is dying. This world is decaying. But Peter says to these believers, don't put your hope in this life. Put your hope in the next. And that inheritance that awaits you, it cannot be destroyed. It cannot be defiled. It cannot decay. It is perfect. You can trust that this inheritance will never be destroyed. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote a poem, When the Stars Are All Gone. And in that poem, he writes these words. The stars shine over the mountains. The stars shine over the sea. The stars look up to the mighty God. The stars look down on me. The stars shall last for a million years and a day. But God and I will live and love when the stars have all passed away. Friend, that's the beauty of the hope that you and I have as believers in Jesus Christ. Peter says to these persecuted, suffering Christians, listen, I know it's tough. I know you're going through some difficult times, but don't forget, we have a hope that the world doesn't have. God has promised us an inheritance that can never be destroyed, will never be defiled, it will never decay. It will always be there for us. And then lastly, he speaks about the security of this hope. Look in verse 4 and 5. Having promised that this spiritual inheritance was permanent, Peter now adds that it was secure as well. He says, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The idea here is that their inheritance is being carefully guarded for all who trust in Christ. So, not only will our inheritance not change, but no one will ever be able to take it from us. Can you imagine the effect these words had upon Peter's original readers? Here they are scattered all over, being persecuted. And Peter comes and encourages them and says, oh, but don't forget, they can take your family. They can take your life. They can take everything you possess. But one thing, they can never take from you. And that is your eternal inheritance in heaven. And Peter says, rejoice. Sing praises to God for this truth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I shared with you the story of Louis Zamperini. What the movie doesn't show and the book reveals is that when Louis Zamperini came home after that long imprisonment in that Japanese prison camp, he was an angry man. He became addicted to alcohol and cigarettes, and he would verbally abuse his young wife, trying to deal with the inner demons inside of himself. But all that changed miraculously one night in 1949 at the now famous Los Angeles Billy Graham Crusade. Louis Zamperini went to the crusade that night, heard Billy Graham preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Louis Zamperini, who had hope, a survival hope, when he was in that Japanese prison camp, to survive at any cost, to survive and make it back home, now had a living hope because he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That night, Louis Zamperini shares in the book about his story. Says that night he went home and he dumped out all of his alcohol, got rid of all of his cigarettes, and he began to treat his wife differently because he was a changed man and he realized that where he once had no hope as towards his future, he now had a living hope based on the new birth that he had experienced through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But I'll ask you this morning, do you have that kind of hope? Regardless of what you're going through this morning, do you have hope that there is something better outside of your present circumstances that awaits you? There is an eternal inheritance in heaven that God has set aside for you. You can have that hope. You can have that inheritance. All you need to do is just as anybody else, is trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Believe that when Jesus died on that Good Friday on the cross, he died to take away your sins. And on that Sunday, when he rose from the dead, he rose so that you one day might live again as well, eternally with God. That's the hope that God gives to us. That's the hope that Easter is about. That's the hope that the resurrection announces to a lost and dying world. Would you pray with me? Father,